meeting, minutes from our July 20th, 2022 committee meeting. And so we need a motion for this. Motion by Jared, seconded by Patrick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion so carried. Resolutions, we'll have a few towards the end, but we don't have any formal resolutions to present tonight. Correspondence, notice of awarding of bids from the Greene County Legislature for propane, gasoline, number two diesel fuel, and we had assessment-related material charges for $102.84. But we did get it out the propane and items like that. So as a municipality, we piggyback on those contracts, and that's where the town of Catskill would buy their fuels. Off the top of my head, not that that may or may not matter, but I think like our propane's coming from Nolan and Main Care will be doing our fuel oil for this coming year.
Okay.
Next order of business we got is a letter from the UPS EU requesting scheduled CBA negotiations, and that's the union that represents our ambulance employees. So we plan on hopefully getting started with that on August 15th with the negotiations for our union employees at the ambulance building. Next, we have a letter of interest for the planning board from Attorney Rob Cuff. Again, right now we don't have a current opening on that, but it's always good to have letters of interest of individuals that are interested in the service on our planning boards and or zoning boards. We have an email from Debbie Schlanker regarding safety issues in the Hamlet of Cement. Talk about that a little bit later, but that was under correspondence. Like I said, we got some parking issues that she's interested in maybe getting additional no parking signs put up in the Hamlet with the cement, and more specifically, probably Maple Avenue.
Maple Street, right.
But that's important.
Because they go to
the other Maples Avenue or Street in the town, in the village of Catskill. So continuing business, the next thing we have on our agenda, an Eagle Scout presentation proclamation. And this was a day that I was supposed to attend down in Kingston at the end of July. It might have been like a Friday the 30th, I believe, something of that nature. And I wasn't able to attend. And so we have Kyle McNiven and his parents both with us today. And we're going to have Kyle come up and we'll read this proclamation for you for your accomplishments as an Eagle Scout. My son's an Eagle Scout, and it's a great day to be. It's something that's a lifelong event, Kyle, and you know I can't say enough good things about being an Eagle Scout. I think yes, I'll read the proclamation, but all kinds of merit badges, and you know, it's just a fantastic thing. And he did some work on the cemeteries, which Tom has done the same thing, and I've done the same thing in Catskill. But he did a cemetery over by Toolhouse Road, took the initiative, cleaned it. And where I was really impressed, he went on to this website, I think it's called Find a Grave, and he actually entered the grave, so now they'll always be available for anybody that wants to go out and take a peek at it. So that was a great Eagle project, and one or two other things I want to mention. It was close to that Friday, there was a tragic Amtrak accident, and Boy Scouts that were coming back from Philmont from New Mexico. And I always said, when my son became an Eagle Scout, and all other Eagle Scouts, if things get bad, Eagle Scouts, I want them to be nearby and helpful. And anyway, during that train crash, the Eagle Scouts on board immediately went to start giving first aid and lending help and a hand to all the victims. And so great accomplishment as an Eagle Scout, Kyle. So here's the proclamation. Whereas Kyle McNevin is a member of Boy Scout Troop 7, having started his path by joining Cub Scouts in the first grade and bridging to the Boy Scouts in the fifth grade. And whereas Kyle journeyed through Boy Scouts earning 32 merit badges, and whereas Kyle has been recognized and awarded Outdoor Ethics, World Conservation, National Outdoor Achievements in both camping, conservation, and whereas Kyle held several leadership positions while a member of Troop 7, including scribe, patrol leader, assistant patrol leader, and recently senior patrol leader. Whereas Kyle is a member of the Brotherhood of the Order of the Arrow, and whereas Kyle's Eagle Scout project was restoring the Arrow Family Cemetery located at the corner of Toolhouse Road and 23A in the town of Catskill, which has been abandoned for many years, and whereas Kyle removed trees, brush, garbage, reset, leveled, and cleaned foot and headstones, and which were then cataloged and photographed posteriorly, and whereas through his diligence and preservation, he obtained the rank of Eagle Scout. So therefore, I, Dale Finch, supervisor of the town of Catskill, Greene County, New York, on behalf of the town board and its citizens of the town of Catskill, do hereby extend Kyle McNiven our congratulations for earning and receiving the rank of Eagle Scout. Kyle, thank you very much. This is for you to hold, I'm not me anymore. But congratulations, it really is a lifelong accomplishment.
Congratulations.
So, was any merit badges stand out for you, Kyle, at all, or anything you like that?
Congratulations, thank you.
That's great accomplishment. And I'll say that back in 2019, when I was still running for town supervisor, I'm sure in preparation for one of the merit badges, Kyle was here doing something about government. But
right.
To be honest, Kyle, I knew Kyle was a winner back in 2019. So, again, congratulations. Okay, county ARPA fund projects. Status on the Catskills projects. I don't know if the town board's ready to kind of look at the town hall project and move forward with that. And we also have the county's the senior center. We got $100,000 available for the floor or other projects that we need to get done at the county at the senior center, the Catskill Senior Center, which we'd like to earmark most of that money towards the center. So then it'll be. We've still got to get a couple more bids on flooring. Anybody care on that? Or
I will too. It gives the county a good idea of what we're spending. And then we have the bid for the parking lot also. So.
Okay. Maybe we can get into the parking lot. We do have three quotes for the ceiling and the striping of the parking lot. And I think we should piggyback that into the onto the county because it's going up to the senior center. I think we'll have ample funds available to do that. Okay, so that's the ARPA money, and we'll continue down later on the exterior renovations for Town Hall. Next one we have up is a request from the Justices to attend the Magistrates Conference on October 30th to November 2nd at the Saratoga Hilton. Anybody familiar with that? And the total cost for both of the judges to go is going to be $1,570. It's a continuation of training.
Yeah,
they have requested
the budget, so.
Okay. So if any we want to approve that, we'll need a motion.
Motion
by Patrick, second by Jared. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those against? Motion so carried. Mr. Bipple, you're on. We had you next up on continuing business on our agenda, so if you'd like to address the board, this is your time.
I would. Thank you very much. I'm here to ask the town's help on a project that I started that looks like it's going to fall apart. And I want to give you a little background. The background is that from 2014, I purchased the Catskill Golf Resort. And for the last 8 years, we've been enhancing it and losing money. Our solution to the losses so that we could continue operation of the Catskill Golf Resort was to do some development. In 2019, we started a project that we brought before the planning board to actually build a hotel on hole number 9. And we had an investor partner over in Hudson who was going to get the financing. And in 2020, when the pandemic hit, all that financing disappeared, and that hotel project, after it had been approved, after we had gotten a special use permit, fell apart. We lost the investors. My solution, because in order to continue the future of that golf course, we need to do some development. This is a small project on my own, which was due a couple of unit townhouses. When I presented it to the planning board, they notified me that attached housing, because we were just proposing two models, one that could be sold and one that could be remodeled, just to be safely taking orders and only building to specifications, because my due diligence showed a lot of townhouse projects surprised, but everything I was referring to was down at the point which was the village. And I referred to one of the mountain, and already that was in the town of Wyndham. But they said they were working on it. In the meantime, they suggested that I build a two-unit duplex home, which I filed for a subdivision for. And the subdivision was approved. The background on that subdivision was two-unit buildings. We were only going to build one. They told me, but by the way, don't call it a townhouse, a two-unit townhouse. Call it a duplex home, because we still don't have attached housing in the plan. Just after I got approval for the subdivision, in April, the town board brought the code into existence, which was copying New York State Code for attached housing in the town of Catskill. I had already gotten approval for my subdivision of 2 quarter-acre lots, which was the smallest lot we could do at that time. And now I'm in a situation where I can't build that duplex home. The reason I can't build that duplex home is that in a duplex home, you can only have one owner. The situation with duplex homes is you would have somebody who lives in the house, and they rent the other one. And it's one lot of land, one title to the land, and one owner on the land. That's not going to work. So when I went and said, oh, can we get it reclassified as a townhouse, we found that the definition of a townhouse following New York State Code is 3 or more units of attached housing. Somewhere, a two-unit building has been left out. I'm here to ask the town to help me get code for what we call and I'm not going to call it a two-unit townhouse, because the research I did said that this has been done in New York State, a two-unit building. It was done in Yorktown Heights. I went and I visited Yorktown Heights, and I talked to the builder and the developer. And I said to him, what are you calling this? He said, it's not a townhouse. By the way, this is what I'm looking for. He said, it's a single-family attached home. And in a single-family attached home, each of the two units own the land underneath. That's the difference between a duplex and a single-family attached home. A single-family attached home, where each home has title to and owns the land underneath the townhouse. So if we went in the direction of trying to get a difference between what New York State's definition is and 3 or more attached units, I think we're going to hit a brick wall. But if I can get the town to approve a single-family attached home, we can move forward.
This says it's built to the edge of the lot. It doesn't say they're connected. These are connected.
I'll get you the ones that are connected.
Right.
I'll get you, if you don't want to Google.
I understand, but you're presenting something
that doesn't really
Depict what you're talking about, which is what I'm saying.
Right, okay. Let me back up and tell you that I visited a two-unit attached home, just like what And I was referred to your townhouse by Westchester Minor Homes, where they said that a builder in your townhouse had the same problem, and he got your townhouse to redefine their code for a single-family attached home with a zero lot line.
Okay, so the
single-family attached home with a zero lot line.
So then you should have presented that and not this definition here.
Right. Let Let me take the definition back.
Right or wrong?
No, you are right. I went online and got the comparison definition of the single-family attached home, but unfortunately, they didn't have the...
I think I understand what you want to do.
Okay.
But I mean, I looked at Yorktown Heights personally, and I didn't find that definition in their code. So I don't know if they went the way of a variance, or how they actually got it approved. But I couldn't find that definition in their, in actually their building codes. But that, again, I'm not saying they don't exist out there, but I think as a town board, we just went through zoning changes last year, and we'll probably revisit some of that this fall. But again, that's when we did that last year between the zoning board, the planning board, and then it presented at the town board, then we had public hearings, things of that nature. So it's really, that's an 8-month, 7-month process. And I think as a town board, we have to make sure, and we got to do our due diligence. What's the advantages if we decided to do something like this? What's the disadvantages of doing it? What zones would we want to see it in? So it's not, it's something that's not going to happen immediately, because we have to weigh, as much as it may fit what you want to do today, is that the right option for, the town of Catskill? I think, so I understand your concerns and why you would like that to happen, but...
In order to go ahead and meet that, right. Because my other option is, okay, why don't we build 3 units?
Right.
Let me fit into the account. The answer is 3 units cost me $2 million, and I don't have $2 million. 2 units will only cost me $1 million, and that I can do on my own without having to worry about an investor that leaves me in the middle. I need to walk before I run. I need to do a 2-unit building. And I have two obstructions in front of me. One is, if you look at the map I gave you, both of those locations are in the high density zone. One of those locations are in the east side of Brooks Lane, and the other location is on the west side of Brooks Lane. I was informed, to my surprise, because going back to 2016, Delaware Engineering came to me asking me to give an easement to the town of Catskill for a pump house.
I think we're familiar with the pump house location.
And he's telling me the east side of Brooks Lane is not in the water district, not in the sewer district.
That's correct.
And I said, they promised me 2 stubs, which are there.
Correct.
For future development, and those are the 2 stubs that I have on my map for location. The water and sewer are right there with the stubs. And they promised me that, and then all of a sudden I'm surprised to hear that I can't build where they gave me a stub. I honestly felt I was misled. But I'm not going to go there. What I want to do is I want to get the sewer district expanded. So, I spoke to Mr. Hillshire, the town attorney, and Mr. Hillshire recommended that I hire a lawyer. So now I have to spend some more money, and I did. I filed money with the attorney for the lawyer. And when I reviewed this with the lawyer, the lawyer says to me, you mean all the infrastructure is there? I said, yeah, the stubs are there, the water line is there. She said, well, I'm working on a project with Palacios. And that's why Mr. Hillshire recommended me.
That's correct. Yeah.
Because I'm familiar with expanding water district. But with Palacios, he said there was infrastructure expansion required. That's what he said. I don't know what you
know. No, that's correct.
So she said, I asked Mr. Hillshire if we can do this simply, since it's all there, with something called outside user agreement, just let us have access to the water and sewer from that.
We're familiar with that terminology, outside user agreement. Yeah.
They would not do it, she's on the project, they would not do it for Palachi.
Right. And why that ends up happening, especially as you go for future development, as an example. And we just spoke about dividing these into townhouses or attached dwellings. So there's no protection for the village if all of a sudden, see, if you're within a water or sewer district and you decide that you don't have the money or you don't want to pay your water bill or whatever happens, we can re-levy those bills back so that whole property owner is going to make the village of Catskill whole for their water and sewer in the town of Catskill. On that type of agreement, it becomes much more difficult to recapture that money for delinquent accounts. And that's one of the negatives of having that agreement.
We would only want it for that one piece, because the townhouses have to go on the west side. And I can start my project with the unit that's on the map on the west side. I would really like to build my model on the east side, and I'd like to do it under a use agreement, and we'll put anything we need. This would be the only attachment for the expansion of the water and sewer district on the east side of the property of the Catskill Waters. We would, you know, I feel it's a real obstruction for not trying to do it simply with this outside use agreement. They want me to hire a lawyer, which I did. They then said, I want you to hire an engineer to make sure we know where we're attaching.
Well, I think
Mr. McGrath had been out there and fully designed how we were going to attach to the water and the sewer.
Yeah, but that was you putting in a brand new water line from 23B all the way down.
Right. I'm only talking about the same connections. We have a letter saying that we're only going to be able to do these two units that are on the map, and we have agreed that we would assist in doing that water line. If we get orders for more, we would put in a whole new water line all the way from 23.
And that's on a larger scale, that's another concern. If we're going to go from two dwellings, and then future we want to go to 17. So I think as for the village, and what's the capacity, you know, at what point are we going to say, okay, we're going to do one more, you know what I mean, without really getting through that project?
Well, and we're talking about these two. We may never go for that project. We may never go for that.
Right. We're talking about that today, but, you know, as a town board, and now we've got to look at the bigger picture of what's going to happen.
I've been informed that we need a new water line if we go past those two units. I've been informed. And I have agreed to pay for part of it, maybe even all of it, but we'll have to negotiate that again. I can tell you that I need this project to go forward for the viability of the Catskill Waters. If this project doesn't go forward, I'm going to have to agree to sell. I have no choice. I can't handle the losses unless I get into a development. And I need help with trying to do this little development in the easiest possible way. Two obstructions are, I would like somebody to talk to Mr. Hillshire and try and get him to agree to the outside use of you. Or I don't have to hire.
That's up to the village.
That's up to the village of the town. It's not really the attorney's decision. That's the village board, because they're controlling that board. And it's agreed. That's agreed. I mean, obviously, we're going to take advice and opinions from, you know, town attorneys. But again, that's going to be part of the village makes up.
But it's up to the board.
It's up to the board.
Because it's a risk for the village to do that.
To do it under a use agreement.
Yep. Right. And we already set a precedence, Patrick, when we didn't do it for Palacios on Manhattan Avenue. So we kind of said.
But I thought this would be a different situation. We're not trying to. We have the infrastructure. Are you telling me the infrastructure is there at Palacios?
They're going to an existing infrastructure on both sides.
And that option was still available. You know, the village and the town still could have went with the user agreement versus the district, but the option was taken to go to the district to further protect the village of Catskill in case we get delinquent accounts.
So he wants me to hire a lawyer again. He now wants me to hire an engineering. I'm not sure what my engineer's going to do.
Yeah, you're just going to...
We kind of know where the hookups are. We kind of know where the lines are.
I think another question may be...
I'm going to be teaching the engineer.
I mean, but the other question may be,
when you
go for the extension, are you going to go for just the one lot? Where are you going to go for how many acres of land do you want to extend? I mean, there's a lot of unknown questions.
I want these two buildings. Actually, let me rephrase it. I only want one of these buildings. I only want one of these buildings. If I put a model in and I don't get any orders, project stops right there, but I've sold the other.
But on the west side, you can build there too.
And I can do that. But I can't do that without the code, because right now.
But the water is good on the west side.
Correct. And we would change our strategy and build on the west side with the equipment. But I can't do it unless I get the code change for a single family attached home with a zero lot. That's the single family attached home. I will get you the correct description so that you'll see how it's defined. But I need that in order to move forward. We can't get a mortgage. Right now, they're not giving mortgages on duplex homes because they don't. They think it's risk. They think it's investment property. Duplex homes used to be residential mortgages, not anymore. So we can't get a mortgage.
Well, what we'll look at as a town board, what we review, but again, we're not. It's not going to be, you know, it's not an immediate thing. It's going to get up. It's got to go through process, and we're looking at something in September that, you know, so we can start. Again, looking at it, pros, cons, amongst many other issues.
The rest of the public hearing, the rest of the board.
Right. I mean,
it's the planning board.
Well, we had the public hearing already on duplexes.
So, one person. Any code changes, you've got to go through the whole thing.
Another public hearing.
Okay, but I mean,
I've got 40 neighbors around a golf course that I have to send certified mails to.
No, it's not true. No, you're not. We have to do it. On a code changes, we just do public notifications, and then anybody that wants to come and talk about any of the codes that we end up or wanting to change is their opportunity.
Yeah,
the
town
council. So really, and that's the biggest difference. When changes are made, they're not specific to one property. They're made to zones. Like it could be, if it's going to be good for your location and you're in high residential, it would be good for all high residential areas. So that's why it's open to the general public. Yeah. And it's open to anybody, but not necessarily specific.
The expansion, if we get orders, okay. This is that line is your zoning line, high density.
Yes.
All right. The expansion would be here on this open fairway, which is our.
I mean, I thought we made a major step in the right direction by improving townhouses.
We did.
Because we did.
We did, absolutely.
I mean, you gave a little bit of a timeline. I mean, at one point we talked about planned unit developments. You know, we started out with that, but, you know, with a developer of Albany, and we went into the townhouses. So, I mean, the town board felt that it was important to have townhouses in our code, so we ended up getting that done. So
why they started at three, I don't know. But when we look at the definition of a town,
New York State.
That two unit side by side, where there's nothing above it, meets that definition. But we can't, what I was told, you can't call it a townhouse just like I couldn't before when we talked about it. You have to call it a single family residential.
We'll do some more research come this fall.
This is what's been going on in New York town. I don't know if it's applicable, but they're doing all kinds of things to make it easier for developers, make it easier for people. And buy homes in Yorktown. I give you a copy of that. This is not applicable to what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to do a simple two-unit building where we have title of the land. What I'm looking for is that's on a quarter of an acre and there's two houses on it. I'm looking for each house to be on an eighth of an acre. That's really what I'm looking for. They have to own the land under the bank building in order for the bank to be
able. I think we all understand the concept. It's just a matter of if we can do it and if it's right for that particular zone.
I will push my project back until next spring, probably, but if you could do this in the fall, that would be great.
Okay, thank you, Dave.
And then I will go to the west side while we're waiting for that. I don't know what's going to take longer, whether the expansion of this water and sewer district or this.
If you're on the east side, you expand the water and sewer district and you still don't have a single family attached house. It still doesn't work,
right.
unless you're willing to put a plow on with three.
But if I have the single family attached, I'd be working on
something.
Correct.
Thank you. Or you can do a three family townhouse fairly quickly.
I can. Anybody want?
No, I don't. You want to take it back? I mean, I do have one, but I'll keep a copy for the record so we
okay.
Have
it.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate the.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Yeah. But just, we're going to give the floor to Tom and Joy Andreessen, and they're working on the banner program for the town of Catskill. I guess we're going through the Catskill American Legion.
Well, we actually started the committee last night. Matt is spearheading it, and we've had, what, about 10 people on the committee so far, I think it is. And the topic was the banners for, which is passed that around. That's the banners, what they're going to look like. They're 30 inches wide by 5 feet. Both Sean Beers are ready, and he's agreed to put him on the poles as well as pack. So, there's a few things we've got to iron out. Matt has just, he has just done the format. We just finished it today, so we don't have anything with us right now, but. Well, this is going to be $195 for the sponsor of that banner. They will send $195 to our post. We'll get you all the information. And in turn, we're going to ship it up to Gettysburg Flag Works. And Gettysburg will, in turn, get the information from the sponsor. They will send on their computer to that sponsor. The sponsor will look at the actual banner, how it's going to look. If they want to make any changes, they got up to three shots to change any of the wording or how it's put on. So I ordered one already. Joy has ordered one for her father. So we're going to use that to start this thing rolling and see how it looks, and see how the attachments and everything work out. It's $195. All the brackets, bands. So we should probably be getting the banners within a couple of weeks. They say it usually takes 4 to 6 weeks, depending on the workload that they have.
We just felt that all the other communities have banners, and they have for a number of years now. Catskill should have
them. I agree with you 100% on that. Well, like I said, I was talking to both of you earlier. I mean, I think COVID, you were looking at doing this in 2020, and then everything kind of got delayed. And like I said, the town board's all very supportive of the program for sure. I personally have been in contact with Central Hudson, and I got emails, and I did send her the dimensions and such like that of your, planned banners, and they don't feel that there's any, obstacles about getting them out on the poles. I mean, or at least approving them, getting them out, like you mentioned, is going to be through our highway department to actually install them. And then it looks like you want to take them down sometime maybe in around Veterans, right after Veterans Day for the winter months.
We're going to have them installed mid part of May, around Armed Forces Day, and they're going to be taken down shortly after Veterans Day.
And like I said, we have the application. I mean, there was one email that we got today about somebody concerned about poles, Mary in particular. But, I think that's going to maybe something you'll have to do with the purchaser. If I was to purchase one, I kind of got an idea. I mean, and somebody else might be from Hamlet of Palinville, or, everybody's going to have a spot that they want to see their family member. And if we can accommodate them, that would be, really great.
Well, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to try to get to the address that they put on there, that they would like it to be put on that pole and the pole number.
Right.
So if it doesn't work out for that pole, we're going to shift it to the next pole. And in a vicinity.
It pays to buy early, right? You'll get your premium spot if you get your order in a little quicker.
Logistically, with the requirements being below the power lines, a lot of them are going to be turned to the inside, right?
Some of them.
I went to Jefferson Heights because Dale said we were going to be talking about this. I'm just looking at the poles. I'm like, a lot of these are going to have to be on the inside.
Well, here's the thing. It depends on how far back the pole is from the edge of the road. If you go out there to Cairo, I can almost touch bottom of that back. So I'm going to say Matt can't. I'm going to say they're probably, I'm going to say 10, 8 to 12 feet off the road most. So there shouldn't be any problem because the majority of Central Hudson poles now, even when I left the company, they were 45 foot replacement poles. In a lot of cases now they're going to 50 foot.
Right, so there's getting a little bit more room up there for infrastructure. But I think these have to be 40 inches below, like, you know, the lowest utility line that's on that pole. Yeah. But you're right, I don't see it. Like I say, maybe certain areas you might have to turn them in, but they're going to look fantastic if they're turned in.
It does.
Or if they're
does.
Turned out, it's going to be a nice. It's going to be a nice.
And some of them have one on each side.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, you know, I think it's going to be a win-win for
that's a great thing.
The whole town and village.
And we just put it out there on Facebook last night, and already I'm getting people saying, I want one for my uncle, my dad, like whoever. They already want to know the information because they want the banners. So I don't think we'll have a problem with.
I mean, if you get a press release of some sort for the local paper, I mean, I was hoping that we could,
right.
That we would have a little coverage tonight, and we help to get the word out a little bit.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We took a picture last night of everyone at the meeting, and we put what the meeting was about, this first meeting, and it's going to be in the Daily Mail.
Okay, good.
So that will be our first step, getting in there.
Like I said, the town board's for 100% behind the project, so whatever we can do, like I said, and we can talk with Central Hudson, they did recommend that we be the sponsor of the application, for the town, so.
Right.
And then maybe the village may or may not have to sponsor, you know, the ones that are happening in the village, but anything in the town, you know, we'll sponsor, we'll submit the paperwork, and should be good to go. And if that's a yearly thing, right, because every year you have to resubmit for
correct.
The
correct.
Okay, and then I suggest that at the end of the season, we can take it down and store them at the barn and quarters go with the prison
centers.
Well, those will be boxes.
We'll figure it out. We've had to do it at the cemetery for the flags, get the mice going into the box. So then we just want to find a black yellow place. And I drill holes in and then I put the dehumidifier stuff.
All right, thank you. I appreciate you coming in and giving us some more information about the program.
Okay.
Just once the committee has finalized the application, we'll send it to you to take a look at, and then I think we would like to get that onto the town website as well. One of the committee members is creating a Facebook page to get information out there.
This is going to be for next spring, right?
Correct. Well, we're going to begin this process in early November. We're hoping in September to at least get the application out there and hopefully start taking in some information. And we also have our Green County Director of Veteran Services is working with us on the project as well.
Now, we may depend on how soon the people come up with the money in the bank. We may want to put a few on the credit for a while. Joy's fathers, so that people can see, once they see them in a few locations, a lot more orders. So, you know, we're a few batteries.
Yeah, it would be fine, so we can see the kind of bracketry that we're getting.
So, in a lot of ways, that's a great idea because then we'll have a sampling of what we're really, you know, looking at down the road, what the if there's going to be any complications in getting them up and what the hardware is like. So, actually, I think that's a good idea to try to get. Elliot.
Did you see? I was just curious. Can a person purchase one of the banners? Is that
yes.
How much is that?
Could be $195.
$195? Okay, great. And how much is the total like cost for like the towns to build up and things like that? Do you have ideas?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's their commitment.
Okay.
And the town village put it up.
Perfect. Wait.
Now, the longer it's better than the town, of course, they have a village of cash.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So it's a way to honor our veterans, and then the second part of our committee was to then begin to organize a Memorial Day parade for the town of Jacksonville, as that has been lacking for the last couple of years. So that was a priority of our committee, was to then start looking at organizations that we could invite, groups, bands perhaps, and things like that. So that's the
guys.
Great project.
It is a great project. I can't wait to see a few of them up there, and it's going to be great. But any help that you need from us, you know.
And thank you to the American Legion for spearheading.
Yes, exactly. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.
All right, thank you.
Take care, Liz.
Take care.
Town home renovations. I did get a couple of references again on this upstate. You know, they gave us a long list of, they did about every SUNY system in the state of New York. I ended up, they gave me a contact point for Woodbury, New York. And it ended up being one of the, an engineer contracted room. And he says, oh, it's funny, you ask, I'm going out to inspect the roof that they're putting on right now. But he said, our project is so similar to Woodbury, and they're extremely happy with the quality of work, with craftsmanship, ease of use, streamlining the process. So they're, you know, again, I think it's the right thing for us. I would just like Matt to go over, since if there's any variables at all that can come up, is like when the units, when we look at all the units, like what they have in the estimate, is, you know, that's the only thing that would have a change or a potential change. And it can go up or down slightly. So we just want to verify those units that are going to be in this scope of work.
So let's get it going.
That's what I'm saying. So anyway, if we do want to get it going, then we're really working with Gordian, was the company that kind of put it all together and orchestrates this, but we're really contracting with upstate companies. It's the direct company.
Yes, Steve.
They're the individual company that did the bids, and then we're piggybacking off of those. I could read up a little bit about it. Some of the things that we're looking at is the front of town hall for people that are in the audience. Repointing the brick, replacing the lettering out in the front of town hall, repairing and painting the panels. We haven't looked that good in the front of Main Street in many years, so we want to get that squared away. Prep and paint the overhangs and stuff. Prep and paint the existing shutters, which are 18 by 55. Foundation in the back, thank God a lot of people don't go back there because it's really in poor shape. So we're looking at foundation work, and it gets into a little bit more of the scope of work there. ADA ramp that's in the back, that's in very poor shape. So we're going to remove that particular ramp, build a new ramp. Siding on the back, I mean, that's a big issue. We've got friable siding that's on the building now, so that's going to be removed. New foam's going to be put on the building, and then new vinyl siding. Windows, same thing in the back. They're kind of, well, the casement windows and trims are in poor shape, and they're going to put vinyl around the whole thing, so it should be a maintenance-free, and obviously it's going to help us with the energy efficiencies as well. Light fixtures, and that's pretty much it. So then we've got a big scope of work, and we get, you know, many, many pages of work here, and the total amount for the whole project is, I'll keep flipping until I get there. Oh, I got it on the front. What was it, 328?
318.
I thought they had it on the cover. Yeah, here we go. So the total of this project is $318,095.46. Just shy of, and we want to put a 10% contingency on there because it kind of came to light a week or two ago that we might want to put closed cell foam under the floor of the courts, which we didn't know at the time. So that's something we might want to proceed with. So we want to boost that up, whatever the 10% is. Liz, it's probably like 31,000, 32,000, whatever that number is. So if we want to proceed forward to enter into an agreement with upstate, we need a motion.
Motion.
Motion by Paul, second. Jared. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion so carried. No further discussion.
Well, no, I just want to go in and let the people here know that this is being covered by an existing bond. Some of the work is being covered by an existing bond. We've had out for about 5 years.
Correct. So, if you want to get down into the finance aspect of it, or I don't know when that was, but it had to be probably 5 years ago. There was a bond taken out to repair the back of this building, and also to put a roof on the highway department, and amongst other things. So there is a balance on the current bond of like $220,000, and the other $110,000. We're going to take it out of our ARPA money that we have, so it's, you know, we're not spending up everything else. The bond's already been being, you know, again, it's been out for 5 years. I think we have two or three more years to pay, and then that bond would be paid off. So after 3 years of, you know, there's no additional debt coming to the town of Catskill on this particular project.
I'd just like to say that I want the climate smart community for the village, and any kind of issues that happen on buildings in the village that are pertaining to the green energy. So, like you said, the energy efficient windows and things like that helps the village also see getting a better rating.
Yes. Yep, though that's good. It's going to help, I think, putting that closed cell insulation to this actually. That plus is good.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Yeah, who's going to choose the colors?
Great question.
The colors are still
the same. Wait, we have white out there now, so they're good. I mean, to me, other than the, I'd have to look at, this was the town of Woodbury, and they might have went with a grayish or a greenish color, but we have white out there right now, but to me it's most important to get the right vinyl and the right quality of vinyl, so we do have to sign off on that, on the vinyl, and we also have to sign off on the windows one day to come. But to be honest, I was going to even ask some of our neighbors to the back. Most people in Catskill don't look at it, but we do have a couple of new neighbors that's made some pretty good investments in Ray's Appliance back there. Mm-hmm. You know,
both of the facade, some of those panels could have different color in them to really accent the nice structure that is. Yes.
Yep, on the front, that's
and
a good
thing. Yes, and colonial colors, it, you know, go with the age of the town.
That's a good point. I mean, I was thinking white there, but again, on some of that trend, if we can highlight it with another color, I think
really something to look at. Yeah.
Okay. Write that down. It's good idea. Something to look at instead of just going white. Maybe we still go white, but it's nice to say what character do we want to have out there. Maybe we could make it a little.
It's a representation of the town. It's make the place look great.
Exactly. This hometown veterans were good than that. That one's good. And you mentioned the clean energy community program. We are on track on that. I did get everybody an email on that. That's been in the works for a long time, and COVID and things of that nature also put the brakes on that, supply chain issues. So I did follow up with Central Hudson today. So they did accept our work order, and it's routed for approval. So they're estimating, so this is to change streetlights, and we have 114 that are non-LED streetlights in the town of Catskill, and there is a $35,000 NYSERDA grant out there, and the total cost of doing all the lights remaining in the lighting districts at Catskill, price is $36,553. So the one grant's going to cover the whole thing, minus, so the taxpayer or right of our ARPA would spend roughly $1,500 or $1,600. And so that's going to be completed too. So that will help you. Well, okay, our lighting districts aren't in the village. They're not in the village, so it's not going to be as beneficial for the village. But it's still beneficial for Catskill and the energy program. So I did want to bring that up too, that you had that. But I think we're kind of getting there. So, sorry, Shaquem. He was the first guy in the building, and we'll give you a floor. Shaquem's here. Shaquem's here from the. He's been working with the town of Catskill. He's orchestrating our summer recreation program, so he's here to give us an update on the programming, how things are going with the program so far. And I'll give you the floor, and you can talk to us about it. So you can sit here. Yeah, you can sit there. You come up here, and you want to sit with us. You can sit here. Wherever you'd like to sit.
So
it's whatever you're most comfortable with.
Summer is going great. Kids are loving it. It's been very hot, though. So, like, a lot of kids have been on vacation and probably staying home because of hot. I feel like we're doing okay. A lot of parents have complimented us. I get a lot of reminds saying that we're doing a great job. Kids go home and take naps and being very tired at the end of the day, so I guess we're doing a job right there. I don't know if you guys have any questions.
Do you have a schedule for the rest of the summer?
Yes, I do. So for the rest of the summer, what we're going to do, so this week we're doing swimming today and tomorrow. Then yes, today and yesterday. And then tomorrow is our farm. Thursday, due to it being hot, we saying that we can't do the farm because it's going to be really hot. I wanted to do a water day, but unfortunately, I guess we cannot because of the water situation. So we're going to have to just figure something out for Thursday. Next week, we are also going swimming again for the Monday and Tuesday for the older kids. And then Wednesday and Thursday are a Ramshorn trip for the younger kids. So we'll take the kids from the elementary school and bring them to Ramshorn, let them explore through the trails and bring them back to school. And then the following week would be the same thing, but yes, it will be the bigger kids going swimming and then the younger kids, or I'm sorry, the little kids going swimming and the bigger kids going to Ramshorn. And then the 25th, the last day of our rec, we're having like a big celebration, like a party for all the kids. I have AMG's amusements coming, the water slide, and they come with a bouncy house and like kind of candy machines and all that. So like, it'll be a fun day for all the kids to have to celebrate the last day of rec.
I like to say, because I mean, hearing a lot of great things from parents. So I'd like to share what they're doing.
Thank you.
And I think, and thank you guys as well, because I think since the community center dropped the ball on it, like, this has really been.
That was a situation.
Learn on the fly.
And it's our first year, and that's what I was going to follow up with you, Kim, about. I mean, as we move on, especially at the conclusion of the program, I think we got to sit down and say, what really worked the best? What did the children like? What was the dislikes? And you know, we all could do better in certain areas, so we got to find out what our strengths were in this program and what our weaknesses were. Was it the right length of time? Was the hours correct? Was the amount of students or children in the program right? So just as we go through the program, kind of make a mental note or make a note of those type of things that you feel that we need to improve it.
I feel like that if we made the age group instead of just being from K to 5, to at least include some middle school kids, because our middle school kids, they were in our program for the last 3 years. Now they're in middle school. A lot of those parents were really disappointed that they couldn't have those kids come because they love summer rec. They actually made it super more fun because they're the older ones, and the little ones would follow them and play along with games that we would normally think that they wouldn't play because of the big kids are playing. So I think just expanding it, even to like 7th grade maybe, just to get those kids back into the mix of it. Parents, regardless of elementary, middle school, or high school, they're going to need some type of daycare or something like that for something more, obviously more middle school than high school, of course. But
right, because some of the high schools are actually led by
yes, absolutely.
And so they're having the fun. They'd rather have fun and come be, you know, be a counselor than be a participant.
Yes. I like to say the counselors are really great this year. They're young. So all of them, I don't have to tell them anything. They just instantly start playing with the kids. So like, sometimes I'm small as well, so I can fit in right with them too. But when I walk past them, I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that you were a counselor. I thought you was a kid here. So I think the counselors this year were really good.
Okay. Any other questions that you might have in the program, Paul? A little bit? Okay. Thanks for coming in and giving us an update.
Okay.
Thank you.
New business, snow plow purchase for Sean Beers on his pickup truck at the highway department. We bought a new GMC pickup truck, probably in the spring, and we got a decent price for our older trucks. We kind of, if we can, rotate them out, and could we get them on state contracts, sometimes it pays to rotate those trucks. It seems to be working for us. So right now we got a truck that needs a snow plow. What was the number on that, 7,000?
7,700.
$7,700, and that's for a Fisher plow. So I got 3 quotes for it, and lowest bidder on that plow was Toads out in Carroll. Toads. Yeah, Toads and can I forget? Henderson.
The other ones were Buttertown.
Yeah, he was going to have the quotes to back up the financials on it. So if we want to buy this plow, we need a motion. Motion by Patrick, seconded by Jared. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. Okay, Todd, Patrick, you want to talk about the hazard mitigation resilience plan?
Yep, this is every 5 years the county has to do it. The towns will, once our annex is done, I send everybody a copy of that. I sent it to everybody, right?
I just got
it. I'll make sure I put
it. Did the county send that out originally, or how did it happen?
No, we had a committee meeting ago.
Okay.
And that kicked off. We're in a short time frame this year. It has to be done by November.
Okay.
So each municipality has to approve it.
Okay.
In order for the county and the municipality to be eligible for any FEMA reimbursements if an actual disaster were to occur.
You said it was a short time frame. I said, oh, this has got to be done by like August 15th or something. But we got to.
But for something this, it's 340 pages or whatever, a couple months of short time frame.
Okay.
But luckily for the town of Catskill, I mean, we've got.
A lot of it's filled in already from the previous.
It is, and it's still the same. I just updated a bunch of stuff that we're applying for grants from Bridge New York, Game Farm, I put down that we were awarded it. Right. It's in process. And Buff, Pennsylvania, it's still in process.
You got to ask about the Pennsylvania bridge. But again, that's going to be the next round of Bridge New York. Bridges and culverts, we got two or three. We had three for sure. We were awarded the Bridge New York program, which that just got kicked off. And they're not going to bid that job until fall of 23. So it's going to, you know, still, you get all this bananas hurry up and wait and things like that. But supply chain issues and cost, the problem is the cost goes up. I mean, I was awarded like 970-some-odd thousand. So we're trying to get it built 2 years from now for 970, which we might have to kick in some of our own labor. But they are expensive. Millions and two with no problems whatsoever. And it's, you know, it's just a little culvert type of thing that you drive over. It's not like a big bridge. Okay, so you're handling that pretty much? All right, perfect. I appreciate that. Good stuff. Tommy Andreessen was here, I think. Anything else that we need on this as far as regular agenda, anybody that we might have missed? Oh, we want to deal with the ceiling. Okay. So we need a motion for the senior center. He's going to get back to us on getting us a little, the line items correct, but the lowest bid for the senior center, which is going to be sealing the senior center, restriping the senior center, hot tarring the cracks and such like that up at the senior center, which is our property. We have a little bit that's not ours. That's going to be an arrangement between, once we do this, I'll work with the property owner there just to get that other strip done. And they have made a verbal commitment that they'll. Otherwise, one little section on the, you're familiar with the senior center. When you walk out, that's, you know, I don't want that. We look very well. We didn't get that done as well. So.
Well, my big thing is that you can't see the handicap spots anymore.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a fire zone.
So we'll push that over. But the total for that job right now is $7,567.
Motion.
Motion by Paul. Seconded by Patrick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion so carried. So I'll notify that. We'll ship that over to the county. I have to see how that process is going to work. If we got to pay first and get reimbursed, but we'll get that done. I think that's all I had on the, and I had going that I can tell.
Oh, what about the, we have to talk about the, do we have to do anything for this pump station of the former Carl property?
No, that's good. We've all went through the planning so far, right? And Renee's
it's still in planning.
Yeah. So that's Renee's going to get back. That was more of an informational piece. Pump stations, we finalized the Leeds Jefferson Sewer Project, and where we have one pump station, and IDA's been selling a little land like the old gas station across from, I would call it the log site or whatever it means, but the old, it's a log cabin type of restaurant, and in the back of there is a pump station. And now that the IDA's got buyers for some of that property, they need to straighten out the lot lines and such like that so we can have access and easement to these pump stations. So it's more of a formality than anything else, but it's nice to get it done and get it done right the first time. So we're working on that with the IDA, Union County IDA, which is located in Cooksaki. Anything else, or we've got it, guys? Any comments from the floor that we didn't address tonight, or concerns that you'd like to discuss, or all good? Okay. With that, we need to motion to go into an executive session for a personnel. That's your. Who wants to make that?
I make a motion to go into an executive session with the town clerk to discuss the person. No. Oh no, we don't need the town clerk.
And the sheriff.
Oh, we're including the sheriff. Oh. Make a motion to go into an executive session, include the Greene County Sheriff. Discuss a personnel matter.
Second. And all in favor?
I'm sorry, who seconded?
Patrick.
Thanks.
And no, and there's not going to be any further business in the executive session.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.